Today's sermon for Palm Sunday is called Bewitched, Bothered, and Bewildered. My brothers and sisters in Christ, let us pray. Our Lord God of our Lenten contemplations, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Our gospel reading for Palm Sunday begins like a spy novel. Jesus draws two of his followers aside. And he gives them a mission. Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone asks, why are you untying it, just say this, the Lord needs it. And so the two disciples go, and they find the colt. The question is asked, and the password is given. The Lord needs it. It's a pretty odd beginning to a pretty odd story, isn't it? Arrangements are made and plans formulated, and in the end, the transfer goes off without a hitch. It's a little bit like a Jason Bourne novel, a carefully planned out raid to get the colt. But there's a little bit of Captain Jack Sparrow in there, isn't it? Remember the Pirates of the Caribbean movie franchise? Hey, you! Why are you taking it? Well, me? Because it's needed. The Lord needs it, okay? So, like many things in the Bible, God's plans seem to work out just a little bit incredulously when it comes to Jesus. But if it's a fraught space that if we didn't already know the outcome, it could result in the triumphant parade into Jerusalem or a whole lot of them thrown into jail for stealing. In the next scene, Jesus is no longer the orchestrator of events, but someone literally going along for the ride. The disciples bring the colt and they set Jesus upon it, which could mean anything from giving him a boost up to physically placing him there. The energy is now coming from those surrounding Jesus. They are the instigators. The people throw their cloaks on the ground before Jesus as he starts to ride down the mountain. Now, have you been to Jerusalem? If you've ever been there, you know that Jerusalem is surrounded by hills, and you have to ride down into this valley to get into the city. And they sing praises to God for all the deeds and power that they have seen. And our story ends with Jesus in conversation with some Pharisees who ask him to make his disciples settle down. Luke doesn't tell us why they do this. Maybe they look upon these folks like we might. Some rowdy fans who were whooping and shouting just a little too much. Or maybe with so many tourists in Jerusalem for Passover, they're worried about a mob effect kind of a disturbance of these Jesus groupies. Maybe, just maybe, they're genuinely concerned for Jesus' safety. Whatever their intentions, Jesus' answer is this. If they were silent, the stones themselves would shout out. Well, okay, he told them, didn't he? I just don't know what to make of this story. But I also don't know what to make of our typical Christian observance of Palm Sunday. Because we purchase all these palm branches and hand them out after blessing them here. And then we wave our branches and sing Hosanna, loud Hosanna, or some other celebratory hymn. And we try to sing and wave all simultaneously, which seems easy, but it's not. It's a heartwarming scene when we're all here doing the opening, waving and looking at each other. But a cloud of doom looms because we know the ending of the story of Easter week. Our shouts of praise are heartfelt. There's nothing cynical about the waving of our branches. But we know what's going to happen soon. We know what it means for Jesus to set his face to enter Jerusalem for the last time. There's a dissonance inherent in our observance here. We cheer as Jesus rides into the city that's soon going to come and kill him. We're somehow in the remembrance of this event, cheering Jesus as one of the crowd, knowing that we will, as one of the crowd, be crucifying and killing him in only a couple of days. And so part of me agrees with the Pharisees who try to stop this cheering. Part of me wants to say, hey, let's tone it down a little. Can't you see where this is leading? Don't you know what is waiting in Jerusalem? This is a funeral procession, not a parade. Put the palm branches away. Use your quiet voice. But then there's that last sentence of our scripture. If these were silent, the stones themselves would shout out. Jesus' words challenge us to take another look, to reconsider this scene, to turn our eyes from what we know lies up waiting ahead and instead focus our full attention to the one astride the colt. Jesus, in all his fullness of being human and divine, Jesus, the Lord of our hearts and souls. And so Jesus' words challenge us to recall his many deeds of prophecy fulfilled and healing and teaching and just plain being, and to offer praises to the God who sent him into the world. To recognize Jesus for who he is and join in singing, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." Oh. I guess we'll tell the story of Palm Sunday again this year. We'll watch a little bit nervously as those two intrepid disciples make their rendezvous with the owner of the colt. We'll relax once they've witnessed the sign and countersign, and once the locals don't really challenge these two strangers leaving town with a prized colt. We'll laugh as some joyful rowdies hoist Jesus onto the colt's back, and we'll all take palm branches and march and shout and sing and join the crowd walking Jesus towards Jerusalem. And, yes, we'll be aware of that little black rain cloud starting to build and the distant rumble of thunder as it follows us into the city and gets ever more menacing through the day and through the week. It'll be right there in front of us. It's unavoidable. And so, I guess we'll once again refuse to let it dampen our enthusiasm for this opportunity to raise our voice to God and say, just for today, we're so glad and grateful for all that is done. We praise you, O God, for giving us this time with Jesus. We praise you for just this day, for it is enough. We will thank God for waking us up this side of the daisies to do good work in the world and singing songs of gladness, fearing not those clouds nor the winter's chill and breeze. By and by the harvest, by the labor ended, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the palms, not the sheaves. That comes later, right? We're bringing in the palms, right? I told you this was confusing to me, as Frank Sinatra once sang about confusion and wonder. Bewitched, bothered, and bewildered am I. But whatever we're bringing in, we do all this not as an act of denial of what comes next, but as an act of worship of God's glory. That part of us that thinks it's all too much, too loud, too celebratory, we're going to ask that part of us to take a seat. If we don't sing, the stones themselves will shout out. So you know what? For my part, we might as well sing. We might as well sing praises to God and to the Christ whose deeds and power we have seen and have been done for us. I'll leave you with these final thoughts. The Palm Sunday story calls us into liminal space. Liminal means that space that is in between two things. It's a limit space where you're transitioning from one thing into something very different. a space between freedom and captivity, companionship and betrayal, outrageous joy and unspeakable sorrow, or the ultimate liminal space between life and death. Somewhere between Bethany and Jerusalem, a parade is forming that, in a certain light, looks like a funeral procession. We know what's coming, but we're not there yet. We are in between, and we're asked to sing. It's uncomfortable singing even as we weep. But that is, after all, the way of discipleship. And it's a discipleship that we're called to handle. We can lean on and into each other this day, and frankly, every day, to affirm that no matter what befalls us, we're grateful that we have each other to make it to the other side. So bring in the palms. We're ready. Thanks be to God. Amen.